Let's take our hands together and say, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome the revelation of the written word. Our hearts are full of faith, meekness and gladness as we receive the teaching of your word done by your Spirit. In this service, together as a church, all our hearts and our minds behold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at our confession of faith. Our confession of faith. So, we're going to open to two openings. Matthew's Gospel 28, 18 to 20, and Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15 to 20. We're going to look at a bit more detail of our confession. Alright, so now, normally when we begin a subject like our confession, you discover that a lot of people just, let me take that back. Some people just go, okay, let's just speak. Almost looking like I mentioned, I think it was last week or during the teaching, during the week, that it looks like positive confession. And I discovered that the very basis of confession, many don't even know it. So the reason for it, they don't even know what it's about. So it's good to go to the very basics of the study of this. Never be in a hurry to understand. Is that clear? Don't be. Be sweet to hear, slow to speak. You must ensure that you fully, the faith of God is such that you must understand it. So that when the storms, different doubts, because we all get doubts come at us, when you have all those things come at you, you know, you have a very solid foundation. Strong enough. That's why you require to be in a very good local church like this. You know, I was sharing with some people during the week. It was like a review class. They're not members of our church though, but it was a review class I had for them. And I said that imagine that the Jesus was teaching many times from morning till night. And sometimes 3-4 days. The same audience. Morning till night. And then they were like, that's true. I said, and then there was no Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. No, just 39 books. As they were still trying to say, ha! I said, now hold on for this one. Moses only had Genesis. The same way he taught them from morning to where? Night. Only Genesis. Morning to night. Remember? When Jethro, his father-in-law, said, you will just kill yourself. Can you remember that story? Exodus 18, 17, and 18. And he was teaching morning to night with 50 chapters. And at that point, you know, they were already delivered and I believe they were written by Joseph for his learning. Now that's just one book. Now we have 66. And after 1 hour, brethren are tiring out. And they will now be boasting they are in a better covenant. That they are born again. That we are not like those people. We have the Holy Ghost. We are not like them. We have the Holy Ghost. But 1 hour, some of us are tiring. 66 books. They have just one. And morning till night is teaching. Because it's in emphasis that you gain understanding. Emphasis, explanation, exegetical delivery, explanations, pardon me, that you will get proper understanding. So Matthew 28. Are you in church? Are you in church? Very good. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the end of the world. Now Mark 16, just the very next book, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink it, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and that the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was withdrawn into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord walking with them, that's them is italicized, and confirming the word with signs following, then he says, Amen. Now, I want you to still keep to those two openings, and let's look at something that we should learn from that. You know, last week and the week before, we said there's a pattern of study. He says, make disciples. The word disciples has to do with students. Students. And that already shows you there's a curriculum of knowing God. Students. Matthew 2. Matthew 2 in their world is used for internship. Trainees. What you can call today apprenticeship, where you learn the steps, you learn the how. So there's a pattern of study that we must have. That is, every subject that you seek to know about God, there's a pattern to know it. It's not like some of us say, I was just led by the Spirit to go to Isaiah. You know, Jesus wasn't led by the Spirit that way. I was just led by the Spirit to just pick a psalm. I said, oh God, arise, oh God, let your enemies be scattered. You know, Psalm 68 verse 1, very convenient. There you go, oh God, contend with those that contend against me, Psalm 35. See how you are combining it. No, that's not a good way to know God. That is a mischievous way to study the scriptures. And in Luke 24, Luke tells us a pattern. There's a pattern of study. When Jesus told them in 25, Luke 24, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, verse 26, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Look at 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now I told you in the services that the concepts of the word Old Testament, alright, was used about 600 years after the books of the Bible were completed. It wasn't used by the writers of scripture to describe Genesis to Malachi. So I told you the names it was called until translation started calling it Old Testament, was either the Law and the Prophets, or the Holy Scriptures. The Law and the Prophets, or the Holy Scriptures, or Moses and the Prophets. I take it again. The Law and the Prophets, the Scriptures, Moses and the Prophets, or plainly called the Law. Those are the four names you will see. Or in other instances, the Word of God. The Word of God. Logos. The Word of God. Logos. So when John says in the beginning was the Word was the God, and the Word of God, John was personalizing the revelation of the scriptures. Logos. So it's either called the Law and the Prophets, Moses and the Prophets, the Scriptures, or the Law, or the Word of God. No one referred to Genesis to Malachi as the Old Testament. And you shouldn't as well. If you do at all, it is for referencing. It is not an explanation. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Is it making sense? It's for references, not an explanation. So, in Luke 24, again 44, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is Jesus. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, just like we said, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Concerning me. Then he opened their understanding and they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24, 44 to 45. So there is a pattern of study on any issue. Beginning at Genesis. Is that it? Come on. That's the pattern. And why is this so? It is so because that is how the scriptures are systematically written for it to be understood. Go to Matthew 1:1. And go to Mark 1:1-2. You know, we're looking at Mark 16, 15 to 20 as well. Matthew 1:1 says, this is the book of the genealogy. This is the book of the genealogy. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the, generation. That word generation is genosis, Genesis. Genesis. James 1:23, you find the word face of his birth, natural face. James 3:13. So you have that systematic study. It says the book of Genesis of Jesus Christ. And where does it start from? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Where would you find Abraham? Genesis. Mark 1:1. The beginning, A-R-C-H, another word for Genesis. The Genesis of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Genesis of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he makes reference, we said the first one makes reference to Genesis, then the Psalms. This also makes reference to the prophets. Mark 1:2. As is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Pay attention there. The first reference in verse 2 is Malachi. Malachi 3:1. I send my messenger before you. Now, if you were, you know, I keep saying to you that you must sit where the audience sat, right? You must have what they read. So when it says, I send my messenger before you, that word is Malak in the Hebrew, M-A-L-K. That is Malachi 3:1. I send my messenger before thee. What were they reading when he said that? Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel. Now that word angel is the same Hebrew word, Malak. I send my messenger before you, another reference there, to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Exodus 23:20. If you look at that Malachi again, Malachi 3, it says, the messenger whom you delight, behold, he will come, saith the Lord of hosts. He will prepare the way before me, says the Lord. So you have, that's what they were reading. So, go to Isaiah 40:3. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Can you see the reference? We have it in Exodus, right? Come on. Malachi and Isaiah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So, pay attention here. Malachi is reading Isaiah and Exodus, right? Come on. Isaiah is reading Exodus. Malachi reading Isaiah and Exodus. So, go to Daniel. Daniel 9. So, when Jesus was saying, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, was he inventing that system? No. That's how the scriptures were written. Daniel 9. I've seen people misquote this as well. Daniel 9:2. So, oh, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. So here, read books! Read books! You have to read books, people tell you. That I, Daniel, understood by books. The question is, which books? Look at it. The number of years, whereof the word of the Lord came to who? Jeremiah the prophet. So Daniel was reading who? Jeremiah. Daniel was reading Jeremiah. And what was Jeremiah reading? Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:32. Jeremiah 31, verse 32. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, for I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Let's take verse 32 together, Jeremiah 31. Let's go. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Who is this one? Where is this? This is Exodus. So where did they break the covenant? Numbers. Right? Come on. And where did God restate his covenant to take them to the land? Deuteronomy. Which means that Jeremiah is within Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and what else? Deuteronomy. So the moment you read Exodus, you must read Genesis. Genesis was where the promise was made. So the moment you read Exodus, you must read Genesis. Which means that there is no independent text. You must read them together. So I call it interdependence of texts. A text relies on another one to be explained. Literary scholars will call it metalepsis. That is, when a writer refers to a text, he wants you to go back and read the whole book. So when you see a text in Psalms, read the entire Psalm. So John will say, John, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos there is both a person and the body of scriptures. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. What you call the Logos in the Greek is called the Dabar, the word of the Lord in the Hebrew. Luke says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, we saw that. Mark says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. Look at Luke again. Even the synoptic that looks like a biography. Luke's gospel chapter 3. Luke writes about the genealogy from verse 23. He finishes in 38 by saying, which was of Enos, which was of Seth, which was of Adam, which was of God. Now, I've told you many times, the issue of chapters and verses are not original. So remove the chapters and verses. Which was of God, that is Jesus Christ. Or Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Just like Israel. So we must therefore learn how these things are read. So that Jesus did not invent a pattern of teaching or a pattern of study. Jesus simply, pay attention, adopted what had been done before. Look at Matthew 13. Just like the use of parables. Matthew 13. So your study of scriptures must be twofold. Textual and systematic. Textual, I mean, read text properly in their context. And systematic, anytime there's a reference, go back to that book and read the whole book. Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude. How? In parables. Are you there? Matthew 13. Are you there? And without a parable, spake he not unto them. Let's take 35 together, Matthew 13. Are you ready? Let's go. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from when? The foundation of the world. Now, where is he quoting this from? Or where is this reference from? Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 2. So every scriptural truth begins where? Begins where? I didn't hear you. Begins with the Genesis, right? And okay, but I like that. Moses and the prophets, you must find them in the first five books, right? Reference in the prophets, and then seen in the four gospels. So you must follow that pattern religiously. Psalm 78 verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings as of old. Quedem in the Hebrew, Q-E-D-E-M, which refers to the east, before. Psalm 78 verse 2. Now, the word parables is the word mashal in the Hebrew. M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. It means illustrations. 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 The word daxa is chidah in the Hebrew. C-H-I-D-D-A-H. Which is where you have mystery. And I've said to you many times, the mystery doesn't come from God. It's found where? Huh? I didn't hear you. In the hearts of the audience. Because they had the perplexing questions. They were the ones that were, mystery means riddles or questions. So, they had the questions. And so it's called musterion. That is, it is to be explained. It is to be answered. So, that's what a mystery is. A mystery doesn't come from God. A mystery is in the hearts of the audience. That's it. So look at the word Matthew 13 again. In Matthew 13, before the foundation of the world, let's examine that too. It's the word katabole. K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. Katabole. In Matthew 25:34, Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto, on his right hand, them right, come ye blessed of my father's kingdom. Inherit of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we must find out what was prepared in Genesis. From the foundation of the world. From Genesis. Luke 11:50. So the concept of hell, as we say today, or the concept of rapture, are not created by the epistle writers. Or by Jesus. You will find them in Genesis. You will find them in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Luke 11, verse 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world. What do you mean foundation of the world? May be required of this generation. Look at 51. 51, let's go. From where? The blood of Abel. So, foundation of the world is Genesis, right? Come on. That's Genesis. Genesis is foundation of the world. John 17 verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You have pro katabole, before the foundation of the world. Then you have apo katabole, which means from. They have similar meanings. But just a little distinction. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished when? From the foundation of the world. Apokatabole. What's he referring to? Verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Where do you find that? Genesis 2:2. Genesis is from the foundation of the world. There are two words in there. Cosmo, referring to an orderly arrangement of things. And the word aeon, we'll look at it next week. Aeon, times and periods. Hebrews 9:26. For then was he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. That's in Genesis. Where do you find that? Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of a serpent, who bruises heel. Hebrews 11:11. Very key. Notice this one. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. The word conceive there is katabole. So in the conception, Genesis. 1 Peter 1:20. Who there, talking about Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last times for you. So, foundation of the world refers to the writing of Moses. The writings of Moses. So, before the foundation of the world refers to what Moses wrote, the beginning. The book of Revelation 13, verse 8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is a problematic issue here. Sometimes in translations you have a syntax, the arrangement of words. Now, the Greek has it like this, alright? In the book of life, alright? From the foundation of the world of the Lamb that was slain. So you rearrange that in your translation. I authorize you to do that. And I'm not changing God's word. Amen. The book of life from the foundation of the world of the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb was not slain in Genesis. The Lamb was slain in the four Gospels. But the book of life was conceived in Genesis. Revelation again, chapter 17, verse 8. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. This is more precise. From the foundation of the world. So that this explains what I said earlier. The book of life is from where? The foundation of the world. That is in Genesis. Because you have the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. So in Genesis 4, you find the seed of the woman in Abel, the seed of the serpent in who? Cain. So you have whose names are written in the book of life. The record of life, Sefer. So whenever you have the word foundation of the world, you're referring to Genesis. Now let me just look at the verb for us. The verb of that word is katabalo. K-A-T-A-B-A-L-L-O. K-A-T-A-B-A-L-L-O. It means to lay foundation. To lay foundation. Which means that Moses was laying foundation of Christian doctrine and practice. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Laying foundation of Christian practice in doctrine. So when I teach, I lay foundation from where? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Just like Jesus did. Genesis through to Exodus. Because the background of Exodus is Genesis. The background of Genesis is Exodus. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's how to explain scripture. Go to Mark 16. Are you learning something? Alright. Mark 16. So it says, go into all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So do we preach the gospel from Genesis? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, do we? Amen. Very good. Now look at 14. Following the pattern. There's a pattern there. It says, afterward he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them, or in a diesel, we've seen that word, upbraided them for their unbelief, apistia, and hardness of heart. Unbelief and hardness of heart. Unbelief, apistia, hardness of heart, sclerocardia in the Greek, sclerokardia, two words in there, sclerone, which is something that is difficult, cardia, heart, which means their heart was obstinate and disobedient. Now, earlier on in Matthew 19:8, remember, when they came to Jesus in verse 3, with on what grounds will a man divorce his wife? He said, at the beginning, God made them male and female. That is Genesis. He says he made them male and female. He didn't make them two. He brought the two to become one flesh. Wherever God has joined together, therefore let no man put asunder. He says in verse 6. So they said, okay, verse 7. Why then did Moses, in Deuteronomy 24 verse 1, ask us to divorce our wives? And write the bill of divorcement. And he says, well, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Where did hardness of heart take place? Numbers. Now gave it to Deuteronomy 24 verse 1. He said, but at the beginning, Genesis, it was not so. Which means that everything I see in scripture, I must look at the history of that instruction. What was behind this instruction? Why was this word given? Why was this instruction given? I must find the context. What's the context of treating slaves and paying for slaves? The context of it was that they were doing it before God rescued them. So when he rescued them, he simply regulated what they were doing before. God did not institute slavery. God did not institute practice of offering animals. God didn't do it. God only came into what they were already doing. So you must find out gradually. That's why when Abraham went to the mountain to offer his son, which is something they did in their culture, to offer animals and sacrifices. So when he took his son to offer, the son was confused. Father, what are you talking about? He didn't say, according to the book of Numbers, you should offer an animal. He didn't say that. He said, where is the animal? Which means that is their culture. He didn't say, according to the book of Psalms. He didn't say that. According to Jesus, what Jesus said. He didn't say that. Because that's the practice to offer animals. He said, I can see the knife. I can see the sticks. But where is the lamb? He says, the Lord himself, Genesis 28, 22 verse 8, will provide a lamb. So which means that their practice was to offer animals. God is saying, I'm the one that will give the offering. So, we must know the history of animal sacrifices. The history is in idol worship. God came in to change their minds. Who's following what we're saying here? Is it making sense? So, when you find hardness of heart, we are looking at Numbers. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. And again, don't forget, Matthew told us that Jesus was on a mountain. He was on a mountain. He called them to meet him on the mountain. Matthew 28, 15, 16, and 17. What's that doing? I told you that geography is theology. Remember that? Where did Moses give them the law? On the mountain. Where did Abraham offer sacrifice? On the mountain. On the mountain. Well, you have deserts too. When you find desert in the epistles, sorry, in the four gospels, it is theology. It's not just a fact that should be glossed over. It is theology. So it says, go and preach the gospel. The gospel. Euangelion. The gospel. Where is the gospel? They ask you, where is the gospel? The gospel is in the book of Acts. Where is the gospel? The gospel is in Ephesians. Where is the gospel? It's in Colossians. Very good. So, the writer of Colossians, was he inventing it? No. Where is he preaching from? Genesis to Malachi. So, where is the Genesis of the gospel? The law and the prophets. Because I told you, if you don't find it in Genesis to Malachi, then you can't find it in the gospels, the four gospels. So, when it says gospel, euangelion, where is he getting that from? Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful. Notice this now. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Are we there? Let's go. How beautiful upon what? See mountains again, right? Are the feet of him that brings what? Good tidings. That publishes peace and brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. So what's the emphasis? We have emphasis of good tidings, emphasis of what else? Publishes. Hallelujah. Publishes. The word basar, B-A-S-A-R, publishes. Preaching. Where do you find that word basar? B-A-S-A-R. 1 Samuel 4. 1 Samuel 4, verse 17. And the messenger, pay attention here. I want you to listen to the details. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is led before the Philistines, and there also has a great slaughter among the people and their two daughters. Ophni and Phinehas are dead, and the ark of God is taken. The messenger answered. The word messenger there is the word basar. One who brings a report of a conquest, of a war, of a capture of a territory. For Samuel 31 and verse 9. And he cut off his head and stripped of his armor, that Saul's death, and sent into the land of Philistines round about to publish it. To publish it. To announce a defeat or a victory. A capture of a king or a territory. To publish it. 2 Samuel 1:20. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not on the streets of Ascalon. The hour of the mighty falling. He says in verse 21. And 19. So it is a news of a victory or defeat. A capture of a territory. 2 Samuel chapter 4. And verse 10. Second Samuel chapter 4 verse 10. When one told me, saying, your son is dead. Think I brought good tidings. So I brought good tidings. Again, is repeated. I would have given him a reward of his tidings. Second, are you noticing that we find much of it in the Psalms? In the story of kings and kingdoms. Second Samuel 18. And verse 19. And said unto Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings. The king tidings. Again in verse 20. Bear not the tidings of his day. And 21. Go tell the king what you have seen. Verse 31. Not 21. Tidings, my lord the king. 1 Kings 1:42. 1 Kings 1:42. And while he had spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abithia, the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and brings good tidings. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and verse 9. Behold, they had stripped him, they took his head and his armor, and sent to the land of Philistines around about to carry tidings unto their idols to the people. So it's a capture of a king by another kingdom. 2 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord, he says, all the earth, show forth from day to day is salvation. Show forth from day to day is salvation. Look at Psalm 40 verse 9. Again, this is a king. Psalm 40 and verse 9. So, the word preach is an announcement of a king. A conquest of another king, a conquest of a territory. Psalm 40 verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. This is the king speaking. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, that thou knowest. Psalm 68 verse 11. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Look at 12. The kings of armies did flee apace. So it's about a defeat of kings an enthronement of another king. And you find that word, great was the company that published it. Notice that, listen carefully to this. This is the text where Paul wrote in 18, from verse 18, he ascended and gave gifts unto men. Which means that the text of Ephesians 4:11 or 8:11 is about the announcement of the gospel in the earth. Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation. The word show forth there means to preach it from day to day. It's not just lift your hands and be giving God praise. No, it's preaching. Isaiah chapter 40. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So the word preach has to do with the defeat of a kingdom and the enthronement of another one. Isaiah 40. And verse 9. O Zion, watch this. That brings good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. That brings good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. It's again talking about a kingdom. Because when you read Zion, look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 7, where you find Zion. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of the king, the city of David. It's a stronghold of a kingdom. Isaiah 41, 27. The first shall say to Zion, Zion is the kingdom. Behold them. I'll give to thee Jerusalem, one that brings good tidings. Then Isaiah 52 verse 7, the one we read earlier. Then Isaiah 60 verse 6. Isaiah 60 verse 6. The multitude of camels that cover the donkeys of Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth. That's what preach again. Basa. Because it said, arise and shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is upon thee. How do you shine? By preaching. That's why Daniel will say, those who are stars forever, they turn people from evil to righteousness. They turn many to righteousness. They are the stars of the kingdom of God. The stars of the kingdom of God are not CEOs of companies. They can be CEOs of companies. It's not because they are CEOs. The star of the kingdom of God is not a Christian becoming a president. The star of the kingdom of God is not a Christian being the richest man in the world. Or being the best footballer in the world. Amen. The star of the kingdom is one who turns many to righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? Isaiah 64. Or 61, sorry. Verse 1. To preach the good tidings to the meek. 61 verse 1. Jeremiah 20. Verse 15. Jeremiah 20. So, where did Isaiah pick the word preach from? From David. And David is about the announcement of a kingdom. And David in his prophecy says to us, is the Lord, Psalm 110 verse 1, that says to my Lord, sit down on the right hand till I make your enemies the footstool. David is the one, the king, who says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He says, lift up your ears, O ye gates. Be ye little of ye everlasting Lord. Says, let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? Lord was mighty in battle. So which means that when you let the King of glory come in, that is the preaching of what? The gospel. Basar. Let him come in. As we announce the defeat of the enemy and the enthronement of Jesus Christ as Lord. Can we say amen? Amen. Jeremiah 20:15. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born to thee, making him very glad. Nahum. Nahum is very key here now. Nahum. How do you say Nahum? Say that. Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Just go to 2 Corinthians, just after it. Now, rather Micah. The mountains quake. So, verse 15, sorry. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. So, Nahum is reading from who? Huh? Isaiah is reading from who? David. Can you see it? Oh, Judah, that's keep their solemn feast, perform their vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, is utterly cut off. So the word preach is a king's news, right? Right? Is it a king's news? Very good. It's a kingdom news. So we should ask ourselves. He says, go into all the world and preach. What is preach? Preach means announce the king. Announce the kingdom. Keruso. Keruso, kerygma in the Greek. And Paul picked that word. Because when Paul uses the word euangelion, in the Greco-Roman times, euangelion was when a king, just the same way, a noble, wins, or he rules over, they capture a territory. You know, in their world, you know the might of a king by territories. In the Yoruba Empire, I did a bit of study of that, because there's some fight now about who is the number one king, whether he's a... My dad made me read through some of those things, because when he was king, there was this fight over who was number one. Don't let me give you much of gist. So he used to give me a few of the history. They said, my people have twisted history. So I went to search myself. And so when he said, so king is number one, I said, you discover that the most powerful, I won't mention it. So some of you will not start, your head will start swelling. It's not your kingdom. But did you even have a king? Very powerful. Because they went into other territories and they will claim the land. They will first ask you, submit or submit. Some will just say, I submit. I won't mention the towns so that you won't feel bad. So that was in the world already. And when God came, he said, yes, I want to claim territories, but it's not by violence. Hallelujah. It's by persuasion. Are you following? So God is equally claiming territories. So the preaching of the gospel is war. It is an announcement of victory at war. So when Paul saw it in the Greco-Roman world, he uses euangelion, the messenger of the victory. The messenger of the territory that's just been claimed. Euangelion. That's what Paul used. So what was the news? Hallelujah. It's clear now that, listen carefully, look up, I'm going to show you something now. So Isaiah was quoting David, right? Same thing as who? Nahum. So if Nahum was quoting Isaiah, he's quoting both Isaiah and who? David. David was reading what? Genesis. Are you following? So we must find what David is announcing in Genesis through to Deuteronomy. What were they announcing? A kingdom. Or the conquest of a king. What's the message? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Praise the Lord. Verse 4. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You learning something yet? Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Let's go. Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God is what? One. Hear. Shema. S-H-A-M-A. Or Shema. S-H-E-M-A. It refers to a message that should be heard. And you see Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? Same word. Who has believed our report? Same word. Who? So, which means that there is a messenger of the message called the Shemak. Sorry, the Malak, sorry. M-A-L-A-K. Who announces a kingdom. And so, when Isaiah says to us, pay attention, Zion, we said Zion is the place of the king. Second Samuel chapter 5 verse 7, which I showed you that earlier. Zion, where we say Zion is the stronghold. Second Samuel, let's check it again. Second Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, saying is the city of the king. The stronghold of Zion. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So Zion is the city of the king. So when it says Zion is announcing the gospel, it's talking about the kingdom of God. So Israel announced what to the world? That God is the king. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. So Israel will go into the world to seek for, preach, persuade for allegiance and faith in God. Paul will write the same thing in Romans 1, verse 1. He says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel of God. That's what Paul said. Which God had promised, right? From the beginning, through his prophets. Then he says, concerning verse 3, his son Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David. See that? The seed of David, according to the flesh, that's a kingdom. And verse 4, Romans 1, declared the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all nations. Hallelujah. For the obedience of faith among all nations. In other words, we are to announce to the whole world that God is king. That's what we're to announce. And how did God prove that? By the resurrection of Jesus. So it's the news of a king. It's the news of a kingdom. So Israel was to go into all the world. All the world. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. If you will obey my voice, he tells them, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. All the earth is mine. Hallelujah. All the earth is mine. They were sent to do that. All the earth is mine. So they were to go to all the world. Hallelujah. So the Great Commission did not start in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Can you see it? Can you see it? Very good. Just like in Genesis. Genesis 14. Quickly look at that. You have Abraham. Abraham had just come back from a conquest. Look at the story here. He just came from a conquest. He had gone to rescue Lot, his nephew. And then as he did that, he brought back goods and persons that were under captivity. Then the king of Sodom came to him in 17, and all the other kings. But 18, verses 14, Melchizedek, king of Salem. Melchizedek simply means righteousness. A king of righteousness. Salem means peace. Brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High. Now, bread and wine there, please, oh, is not Passover. Oh. Is that clear? Aha. Bread and wine there was to nourish him. He had just come back from war. A king does not serve people food. But when Melchizedek did that, it was to let us see that God's kingdom is of service. Men's kingdom is violence, coercion, and ruling over men. God's kingdom is to serve other men. Hallelujah. So he gave him refreshment. And he says, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. He said, possessor, kwana, in the Hebrew, it means to acquire or to take over what belongs to you. So God wants to fill the whole earth. He says, Abraham of possessor of heaven and earth, of the Most High God. Which means Abraham was a preacher of the gospel himself. So look at it. The kingdom, therefore, here is a kingdom of service, a kingdom of persuasion, not coercion. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when you hear gospel, there are different words that explain it. The announcement of a king. The word of a king. The conquest of a king. The news of it. Is gospel. Hallelujah. You learning something here? Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and verse 7. This is David prophesying here. He says, I'll start from 6. Let's start from 6. Let's go. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of what? Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Look at verse 8. Ask of me, and I'll give you the eating for your inheritance. The uttermost part of the earth for your... Is it similar to Abraham? Huh? The earth. Is it similar to Exodus 19 verse 5 and 6 said to Israel? Exactly. The uttermost part of the earth for your inheritance. So the inheritance of Jesus is the whole world. The inheritance of the believer is what we got from Jesus. Our work, our ministry, our mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ is our inheritance. So the mandate, I mean here, the mandate on Jesus is my inheritance. Scleronoma in the Greek means what is your lot, your part, your portion. His lot is our lot. His portion is our portion. His portion is not buying over Microsoft. Can I have amen? Or Amazon. His portion is to win the owner. Hallelujah. Not his possession. His portion is to claim all who are under the dominion, in the domain of the enemy. That is his lot. Our inheritance is Christ's inheritance. Because we are called joint heirs. Hallelujah. To remember to say inheritance. Say, I claim my inheritance now. That promotion is mine. I claim my inheritance now. If you're a joint heir with Jesus, that means he should also be a manager in that company. And if he's not, he's not even qualified. Hallelujah. Then that cannot be your inheritance. Glory to God. See, the mandate on Jesus is my inheritance. We've done a study on this before. Glory to God. I said glory to God. The uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Kwana, to take it. Hallelujah. So I possess my possession. It's not a husband or wife. Glory to God. possess your possession is the whole earth. Our mandate in the earth is our possession. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What was Israel's possession? The whole earth. David, the whole earth. Why? They were acting as God's men to arouse the gospel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Above all the idols of the world, above man-made effigies and idols, God is God over all. That's the message. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Go to Romans 10. You learn something? An understanding of what the gospel is will help your ministry, the way you preach. I believe that if many of us understand the story of the gospel, the narratives in the law and the prophets, our presentation of the gospel will reach more people. Amen. Hallelujah. You learning something? So you learning something? Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at Paul. Paul, in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? This is Paul. And he says in 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and brings glad tidings of good things. Now, that's Isaiah 52, right? Right? So the moment I go to Isaiah 52 and Nahum 1:15, I must go to the Psalms, right? Right? I must go to Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Paul did exactly that here. Why don't we read this together? Let's start from verse 4, chapter 10. Let's go. I'll wait for you all. Let's go. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Verse 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Verse 6. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? Verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Paul is teaching this from Deuteronomy. He calls Deuteronomy the word of faith, which we read in 15 to 17, the gospel, the good tidings. Where? Deuteronomy. Remember I told you that Jesus at the temptation, the three texts that he referred to are in Deuteronomy. He overcame the devil from the text of Deuteronomy. Not Ephesians, not Colossians. Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 6:13 and 16. So let's go to Deuteronomy 30, where Paul is referring to the word of faith here. Hallelujah. So, is Paul telling us that Moses preached the word of faith? Is that what he's saying there? Is the word of faith the gospel? Come on, is it the gospel? The good tidings? And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Watch this now. Verse 11. Let's read it together slowly. Let's go. For this commandment which I command this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. That's what we read earlier, right? What does he call it? Commandment. So we're going to read the gospel as a commandment. Another word for the gospel is commandment. So it's a commandment. Mitzvah. M-I-T-S-V-A-H. Commandment. M-I-T-S-V-A-H. A commandment. In Genesis 26 verse 5, that word is there. Commandments. Genesis 26 verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge and my commandment, my statutes and laws. And he's not referring to a big book. He's referring to the gospel, his word. So God's word, the gospel, is called statutes, laws, commandments, the voice of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31. Deuteronomy 5:31. All the commandments, statutes, and judgments. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. The same word. Mitzvah. Exodus 15:26. Now, I want to pay attention to something. In Exodus 15:26, where it says, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord God, and will do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. The 10 commandments were not given them. All the laws of Exodus, you won't find them there. This was just when he took them out of the land of Egypt. And he calls it his commandments. So, commandments, judgment, and statutes is not legalism. It's another word, meaning of the word gospel. What God commands. Whatever God commands is good news to us. Whatever God commands is his message. Savah. T-S-A-V-A-H. Again, you can have that. T-S-A-V-A-H. Let's see the genesis, the root of that word. What God commanded. Genesis 2:16. Are you in church? Are you in church? Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God, watch this, let's read together. Genesis 2:16, let's go. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying what? Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest... How many trees were present here? Two. So he's saying you should freely eat of what? The tree of life. Is that the gospel? Oh, yes. Look at the B part. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. If you eat of it the day you eat it, you will die. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? He that believes not shall be what? Damned. God commanded. So the gospel is a command. So I say the gospel is a command. Genesis 3:11. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Verse 17. Genesis 3. Because thou wast asking the voice of thy wife, and I think of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, don't eat of it. So God's word is always the gospel. God's command is the gospel. God's commandment is the gospel. God's instruction is the gospel. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Are you learning something, guys? Verse 12. It is in heaven, not in heaven, that you should say, who shall go up to heaven for us? Who shall bring, to bring it up? That we may hear it and do it. Why did he say that? Because Moses went up to the mountain to bring the law. He says, who shall go beyond the sea to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? That's the crossing of the Red Sea, where the armies of Egypt died. He said, no. The word is nigh thee. Hallelujah. Is nigh thee, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. Asah, in the Hebrew, A-S-A-H, it means an action. In Genesis 3:13 and 14, and Genesis 4 verse 10, it has to be what is done. And what is done? To believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Why? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, You guys, verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you might live. Hallelujah. How do we do the word? We do the word primarily by believing it in our hearts and saying with our mouth. God wants us to put his commandment in our hearts, in our mouth. And his commandment is the gospel. Hallelujah. When he says, don't eat of it. If you eat of it, you will die. That is the gospel. So the gospel, does it have warnings? Does it have warnings? Is a warning for our good? Talk to me, guys. That's the gospel. His commandment, his judgment, his statutes. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. So, what is the primary destination of God's word? Our heart. Then what? Our mouth. Our heart and our mouth. Heart refers to not the blood pumping organ. Heart refers to your innermost being, your thinking, your desires, and then your mouth, your speech, your language. Say, don't say, who will go up and do it? God's not far. Say, who will go across the sea again and give us an exodus? Say, The message that Moses brought from the mountain and the exodus is very near you. It is in your mouth and your heart. So Paul said, this is the righteousness which is of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll study more of that too. Amen. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, Matthew 28, teaching them to observe what things soever I have what? Commanded you. The same Greek word, entolomai, commanded you. So the gospel is God's command. Hallelujah. See, the gospel is God's command. That is command. Entolomai. Entelomai. A word you're going to find on the lips of Jesus in Matthew 17 verse 9. And in Matthew 19 verse 7 referring to Moses. But in John 14:14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my instruction. What's his instruction? To believe. My commandment. Entolomai. To believe. What is God's instruction in the Old Testament, as we call it? See it in a moment. John 15:14. John 15:17. His commandment. Acts 1:2 is called commandment. The gospel is called commandment. Acts 13:47. So the gospel is a command. Say the gospel is a command. Acts 13:47. For so as the Lord commanded, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. We refer to Acts 1:2 the other time. Until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. John 14. Read that 14 and 15. If you love me, why did Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? He's taking his words from the book of the law. One time they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, what is the great commandment of the law? What is the great, if you look at the Genesis to Malachi, what is the great commandment? They asked him. Matthew 22. Quickly. We run out of time. Matthew 22. What is the great commandment, they asked him, of the law? Verse 36. Now, Mark gives us a fuller rendering in Mark 12, verse 28. Let's quickly read that one, quickly. Mark 12, 28. Are you in church? Hallelujah. I may spend an extra time this morning, because I want to get to the end of this particular part. Are you there? Mark 12. They asked him, which is the first commandment of all?
The most important, put on.
Let's take 29 together. The first of all commandment is what? Can we say the basis of the gospel? Come on. Is what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Go there quickly. The Lord our God is one Lord. The God of the earth is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Yahweh and the word Elohim. We'll look at that next week. Yahweh Elohim. One. Look at 30. Let's take 30 together. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the gospel. Hallelujah. Who's following this now? Thou shalt love. He takes it from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. Ahib. A-H-E-B. Ahib simply means to prefer above. To esteem. To believe God means to esteem Him. It's not a mental assent. It's to esteem Him in your heart and in your speech. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul says, writing from Isaiah 64 verse 4. Isaiah 64 verse 4. Eye has not seen, he has not heard. Neither has he entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. Agapao. A-G-A-P-A-O. That love Him. Yet in Isaiah 64 verse 4 is the word chaka, that wait on Him. That wait on Him. That wait on Him. To wait means to trust. You see that word in Isaiah 8 verse 17. Isaiah 30 verse 18. Isaiah 8 17. Isaiah 30 18. Psalm 33 verse 20. Psalm 66. Psalm 106, sorry, verse 13. I'll take it again. Isaiah 8 17. Isaiah 30 verse 18. Psalm 33. Verse 20, Psalm 106 verse 13. To stick to Him. To prefer Him. It's not just a momentary feeling. It's a command. To trust God. To esteem Him. No wonder Romans 8:8. All things work together for good. To them who love God. So the word believe is also to love God. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? It also means to obey Him, right? To believe, to obey, to love. Are they one and the same? Are they one and the same? Romans 5:5. Hope maketh none ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Love of God there means faith in God by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When that happens, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 has come to pass. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So it's the gospel, God's command. Talk to me, guys. God's instruction. Hallelujah. God's judgment. God's way of seeing things. Does it include His warnings? Does the gospel include do not do this? Come on, talk to me. Hallelujah. So the gospel is what we believe and also what we say. What we believe in our heart. Is it also what we say? Come on, talk to me. Is also what we say. The gospel is what we believe in our heart and also what we say. So when Jesus scolded them for the hardness of the heart, it's in Numbers. Let's quickly go there. Go there quickly. Don't forget, what's our subject again? Hallelujah. Our confession of faith. Numbers 12. Numbers 13 first. When the spies were sent, and then the spies came and gave an evil report. Have we looked at the word evil report? We say slander, right? To misrepresent what God has said. Evil report. Evil report doesn't mean to bring out guns. It means to say God didn't tell the truth. Or God cannot bring His word to pass. So in Numbers 12, notice something. There are how many spies were sent? 12. How many brought evil report? 10. And look at what they did. Overnight. Guys, look at this. Overnight. A nation estimated to be about 2 million. They followed the multitude.
Only two people said, no! That's not what God said. We believe God overnight.
Watch what influences you. Did you hear me? Watch what trends.
The fact that it's trending doesn't mean it's God's word.
I esteem God's word. I didn't hear you. I esteem God's word. I esteem God's word.
Look at it now. And what did God say about Caleb and Joshua? Just two guys. Just two. In verse 24, Numbers 14. My servant Caleb, he has another spirit. Another spirit. Acha Ruach. In verse 30. Caleb and Joshua, another spirit. Why? What is another spirit? Pay attention now. In Numbers 13, verse 30, they stilled the people before Moses and said, it's the spirit of faith, the spirit of the gospel, to say what God said, to say God's command. Hallelujah. I say what God says. I say what God says. Glory to God. I say what God says. So what is our confession? Is our confession the gospel? God's command? God's instructions? So which means our confession is what God has said. I say what God says. Where do I put it first? I put it on my heart, right? Then I say it with my mouth. I say what God says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know something? The other 10, they were being realistic. Right? Were they being realistic? They were following Google. Huh? Were they following Google? Research? Yeah. They were following facts. They were following reality. So I say, I'm only being realistic here, guys. I'm only telling you this is how I feel. Well, how you feel is evil. It's a slander on God. Hallelujah. It's a slander on God. What I see does not reflect always what God says. I mustn't slander God. I believe God's word. Say, I believe God's word. Hallelujah. I'm still trying to lay foundation for this, right? I believe God's word. I believe His command. I put it on my heart and on my lips. Look at Psalm 107 verse 2. Quickly. You learning something here? Are you learning something here? Psalm 107 verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 1. All give thanks unto the Lord, for His good, for His mercy endures forever. Let's take verse 2 together. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Notice the word so is italicized. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the word so is not there. It's not wrong. It's not evil. But you know the import of removing the so. I'll tell you now. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom He had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The gather them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Hallelujah. Let them say whom He has redeemed. Glory to God. The word redeemed, Gal, G-A-A-L. We're going to explore it later on. Genesis 48 verse 16. Exodus 6 verse 6. I've told you before. Kinsman redeemer. To redeem a relative or a possession of a relative. Let them see what God has done. The gospel, therefore, is our confession. He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. The word tsar in the Hebrew, T-S-A-R, an adversary, or used literally, one that is narrow and tight. Let them say, hallelujah, glory to God. The word say there is the same word Moses used in Genesis 1:3, and God said, interestingly, is what was used for Adam. Adam said, Eve said, we are always going to have, close here, different suggestions in our speech and our thoughts. But we have an instruction. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what God has done. Say what God is doing. What has God done? God has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. What else? He has gathered us from the lands, an ongoing work of the Spirit. So while the world is saying what the world can see, we say what God has said. What has God commanded? That we go into all the world and preach the gospel. What has God commanded? The whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I say what God has said. I say the gospel. I stand firm with what God has commanded. With God's judgment. Amen. Be blessed. You learn something? Let's stand to our feet and bless the Lord. Father, I thank you. We give you praise. Lift your hands. Oh, bless his name. Lift your hands. Say what God has said. Come on. Say what God has said. Say what God has said. Say what God has said. His judgments. His statutes. His command. Lift your hands. Say what he has said.